Thank you for standing by. Today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would like to inform all participants that you will be in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. I would now like to turn the call over to Ms. Jenny Lyons. Thank you, ma'am. You may begin.
Thank you, Tasha, and good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jenny Lyons, and I'm with NOAA Public Affairs. I want to start by thanking you for joining us on this call today. We're here to announce first-of-its-kind statistics on the U.S. marine economy. To explain the news we're releasing today, I have the honor of introducing our speakers. First, sharing the meat of the information is Nicole LaBeouf. Nicole is our acting director of NOAA's National Ocean Service. She is going to provide a brief summary of the news, and then we will open for questions. We also have several other experts on hand to answer your questions, including Monica Grasso, NOAA's chief economist, Kate Quigley, also an economist here at NOAA, and Ted Morgan, an economist at NOAA's sister agency within the Department of Commerce, the Bureau of Economic Analysis. You can find specific name spellings and title information for our experts on the media advisory posted at NOAA.gov. And just a reminder that this call is for working media only. If you are not a member of the media, you are welcome to listen, but please do not ask questions. This time is really reserved for reporters. And with that, I'm going to turn the floor over to Nicole. Nicole, please go ahead.
Thank you, Jenny. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nicole LaBeouf. I'm the acting director of NOAA's National Ocean Service. And I'm very pleased to tell you more about these new statistics from NOAA and from Commerce's Bureau of Economic Analysis that prove with hard numbers what we in NOAA have known for years, that our marine economy, also known as our blue economy, is vital to the United States. These new statistics take a detailed look at economic performance across 10 sectors representing businesses dependent on the nation's coasts, oceans, and Great Lakes between the years 2014 and 2018. The information shows that the blue economy products and services were worth $617 billion in 2018, and nearly $373 billion contributing to the U.S. gross domestic product. That's 1.8% of the gross domestic product bigger than the agricultural sector or public utilities in the United States. Businesses included in the statistics also supported 2.3 million jobs in 2018. But perhaps most noteworthy is of this analysis is that the blue economy in the United States grew faster than the wider U.S. economy in 2018. Our press release lists some of the sectors making the largest contribution to bottom line, including tourism and recreation at $143 billion, national defense and public administration at $124 billion, and offshore minerals at $49 billion of the U.S. GDP. These statistics show that our coasts and our waters are primary drivers of jobs, innovation, and economic growth, and they are providing new and emerging industries and opportunities for the future. America depends on our ocean, coast, and Great Lakes. It is nearly impossible for most of us to go a single day without eating, wearing, or using items that come from or through our ports and coastal communities. This clear picture of our marine economy will help national policymakers, marine industries, and investors make informed decisions about how to plan for the future, protecting our people, our economy, and our environment for future generations. Information like this is especially important as our coasts face threats like sea level rise and increased flooding in the face of a changing planet. These are the challenges that NOAA's National Ocean Service is uniquely positioned to assist the nation with. These new statistics highlight just how important it is, the work we do to sustain our oceans and coasts for the American people. These statistics are the most comprehensive and accurate produced to date because the methods allow us to isolate and include ocean-dependent shares of energy production, government, marine research, and other broad classes of economic activity. These numbers, taken in total, reflect more than any absolute dollar value of our nation's blue economy. These numbers emphasize the importance of sustainable, science-driven planning and resilience efforts. And with that, I'll turn the call back over to Jenny Lyons, who will facilitate the questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nicole. At this time, we will open for reporter questions. Tasha, can you please explain to the group the process for asking a question?
If you'd like to ask a question, press star 1, unmute your line, and speak your name and affiliation after the beep. I will be able to introduce your question without your name and your affiliation. If you would like to remove your question, press star 2. Again, to ask a question, press star 1 and speak your name and affiliation when prompted. One moment as we wait for questions.
Thank you, Tasha. Sometimes it takes just a moment for folks to get in the queue. But it looks like our first question comes from Doug Frazier. Doug, we're working to open your mic right now.
Doug, your line is open.
Okay, what was the sector that maybe experienced the greatest growth or was driving growth versus, you know, other sectors? When you say it grew faster than the general economy, was there any particular sector that did that? And I'm kind of wondering, I'm going to double up on the questions. Marine, the blue technology component is something that I think you folks are also focused on. Could someone just address blue technology and its role in driving this economic growth? Thanks.
This is Kate Quigley. I can go and answer some of that, and others can join in if they have additional information. So the sector that we see the largest growth in with the time period that we have is tourism and recreation. So last year, from 2017 to 2018, we saw the overall economy, the ocean economy, sales grew by 7.5%, and that was faster than the U.S. GDP. And so we've got the tourism and recreation sector grew the fastest, but the defense and public administration also grew second fastest, and then oil and gas, and then shipbuilding. And happy to provide those numbers with you if you need them on how much. The blue technology portion, we are working on that within the model. We have included some parts of the ocean technology sector, but that's something that we're still working on, and we hope to have numbers in the future.
Thanks, Kate. Our next question comes from Ed. Ed, I'm not sure what affiliation you're with, but please go ahead with your question.
I'm with USA Today Network in Florida. And can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we hear you.
All
right. Go ahead.
As far as the recreational fishing and the recreational tourism aspect of it, did you have those numbers broken down any further, like, say, for recreational boating and some of the other activities in recreation?
We do have that broken down further. This is Kate Quigley, and that is featured on the Bureau of Economic Analysis website. We can get that link to you, or you can see it in the press release, but it is broken down further. Some of the recreation and tourism is included under the recreation and tourism sector. Other components are included elsewhere. But though it's broken down in by industry on the BEA website in the spreadsheets that they provide.
And just a reminder, you just need to press star 1 to get in line to ask a question. I think we had a couple folks get in line and maybe drop out of line. I don't know if your question was already answered or that was an accident, but star 1 to get in line to ask a question. It
And if I can I follow up, Jenny, with a little bit more information about the recreation and tourism industries that were included?
Absolutely.
Yeah, if that's fine, I just wanted to just give some examples of some of the industries that are included under recreation and tourism. So that would be marine boating, recreational fishing, amusement parks, water parks, festivals, sporting events, concerts, sailing, motorboating, canoeing, kayaking. All of these different activities are included in rec and tourism in shoreline communities.
Thanks, Kate. Our next question comes from Bruce Ritchie with Politico. Bruce, please go ahead.
Thank you. Does this break out at all the value of ecosystem services, including services provided by estuaries? I'm particularly interested in seafood and fishing that might be related to estuaries. Thank you.
So this is Kate Quigley again. The geographic scope of this model does include estuaries, and it does include both commercial fishing and recreational fishing. But as far as other ecosystem services are concerned, beyond the fishing, the fish that are created in those ecosystems, those are not included in this model.
Our next question comes from Marlies from KTUU Alaska, I believe. Marlies, go ahead.
All right. I got on a little bit later than I expected because I was stuck on a call, but one of the questions we had is, like, how is all this affecting Alaska? Just because I think Alaska has more coastline collectively than the whole United States or the lower 48. So how, like, is this, like, affecting us here in Alaska?
So this is Monica, and the account as is right now, it doesn't have regional data. This is something we are looking in the future, so we can't really point to specific states at this point. But there's some information we'll have in the future.
And this is Kate Quigley. I'll add in that it does include business activity, though, in Alaska, taking place both on the coast but also further inland within the marine economy. So we include all sorts of different activities. And so if there are industries participating in activities like tourism and recreation, offshore oil and gas, marine transportation, fishing, any kind of fishing, seafood processing, seafood retail, ship and boat building, power generation, marine construction, research and education or professional and business services, national defense and administration. If you have businesses within Alaska, and of course there are many, that participate in those activities under those broad headings, then they are included in this data set.
Thank you. As we queue up Doug Frazier from Cape Cod Times, I just want to remind folks it's star one to get in line to ask a question. Doug, please go ahead.
So maybe I'm just sort of cycling back to what I already asked, but is there like a sort of any kind of value system added onto this, as in like are there growth areas that specifically are going to create, like, I'm thinking like maybe offshore wind, you know, that it may not be like a huge player right now, but could be, you know, in the future. Was there any analysis done on, you know, the potential, you know, for those kinds of industries that might be, say, quote unquote, cleaner than maybe like the oil industry, for instance? Any sort of projections on, you know, growth areas that could be beneficial in solving some of the problems we face right now?
So this is Kate Quigley again. We have identified ocean areas that we believe are poised for growth. So those include things like offshore renewable energy, autonomous marine vehicles, ocean exploration, marine pharmaceuticals and aquaculture, industries that we, from talking to people in the industry, that we see are going to grow or that we expect to grow. So those have not fully been incorporated, although aquaculture has been incorporated, marine pharmaceuticals have been incorporated, and ocean exploration, autonomous marine vehicles, some of that information has been incorporated, but we see those industries are poised for growth, and we are keeping an eye on those industries. This model does not forecast anything, but it does provide us with a good solid foundation and a baseline for future growth. So we're hoping that national policymakers can use this information, as well as industry advocates and investors can take a look at this information, take a look at the timeline that we've provided this information, so the trends that they see over time, and that they can then determine, okay, what industries do we see have been growing in the past, what can we potentially expect for the future, and they can figure out how to support those industries or to pay special attention to those industries.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Kim with American Shipper. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi. Where is the contribution of U.S. ports in these statistics, and how has their contribution to the GDP gone up or down?
So this is Kate again. So we do include the contribution of the ports in different categories within this data set. So we have ship and boat building, we have marine transportation, we have port activities included, and these numbers are nominal right now, but we are tracking those activities. And if you take a look at the BEA website where it's broken down in much greater detail than we've provided in the press release, you can see by industry the different activities that ports partake in are included in the account. I don't have the growth numbers in front of me right now, but you could compare from past years, or we can get that information directly to you. If you just contact Jenny Lyons, who's leading this call, we can get much more specific information specifically on ports to you.
Hi, this is Ted Morgan at the Bureau of Economic Analysis. I'll add a little bit to what Kate mentioned. In particular, the data, you can find the data at bea.gov, special topics, ocean economy. Well, once you go there, you'll be able to see the data by industry. And in particular, when you're asking about the ports, they're going to be embedded in the transportation and warehousing data, and specifically in the other transportation and support activities sector. And so when you see the data, you'll be able to look at it for the years 2014 through 2018. You'll be able to calculate some growth rates. It's roughly, I think, about $10 billion growing up to about $11.5 billion in 2018. Now, granted, there's more than just port activity in that sector, but that's a start for where you would want to drill down and see some of the information.
And this is Kate again. I've got a little bit more information. That's the numbers that Ted just noted. We see an 8% increase in growth for marine transportation specifically.
Thank you. And now we have Ed with USA Today with our next question.
Yes. First of all, is this an ongoing analysis that's going to continue through to update, like through 2019 and then into 2020? And if so, with everything that happened to many of these manufacturing sectors and retail with COVID-19, what do you anticipate with that data when it comes out?
So this is Kate. I'll answer part of that, and then others can chime in. So when we see the devastating impacts of COVID-19, and we know that we've only got 2014 to 2018 data, we are trying to get that 2019 data. We expect to have that, but it really depends on funding, so we're working on that, but we don't have anything finalized at this time. Yes, we hope to update this, though, on an annual basis, and we hope that is going to be one of the data sets that can be used as a baseline to both strategize for efforts and to support and to track recovery following COVID-19.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Chris at Seafood Source. We are pulling you up right now. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Just a quick question. Does the data on sort of the fisheries industry, is that any different than the NOAA data that kind of comes out every year about the status of U.S. fisheries?
Yeah, this is Kate Quigley. I can answer that question. So we coordinated quite a bit with NOAA Fisheries, understanding that they already have data on the seafood industry in their Fisheries Economics of the U.S. and Fisheries of the U.S. Documents that they put out each year. And our data set that we have right now, we are tracking the direct impacts from the marine economy, whereas NOAA Fisheries, of course, is taking a look at the contributions of the economy to specifically seafood. And so they are going more in depth. They're including direct, indirect, and induced impacts from seafood expenditures and those activities. So we are not including as much as they are in one place. However, we are including things like seafood processing, but it's not showing up under, say, our living resources sector or our seafood and bioproducts sector. It's being included under manufacturing. There's other similar things where we are including some of the activity that NOAA Fisheries includes, but it's coming under a broader list of sectors than is done by NOAA Fisheries. The data set that we've produced, these new numbers, reflects well. It is in line with NOAA Fisheries' direct impacts. So we're very happy about that. But again, it does not include the indirect impacts or the induced impacts that NOAA Fisheries' numbers include. And so you're going to see that their numbers are a little bit bigger.
With that, I do not see any more questions in the queue. I want to just remind folks, if you do have a follow-up question or a new question and you haven't had a chance to ask questions yet, feel free to press star one and get in line. This is really your chance. We've set up this time with our experts so that you can do that. So and hold here for just a minute for give anybody a chance to press star one with a question, a new question, or a follow-up. I've worked with many of you before, so I know you're not shy when you do have questions. Doug Frazier, we see that you just got in line. Go ahead. We are opening your line right now, and it's open.
So just a quick follow-up. Are there any sort of, I realize you're covering a lot of different industries, so this is probably just a ridiculously broad question, but are there any impediments to growth right now in the marine sector? Is there anything that needs to be, for instance, I talk to people in blue technology field and they're saying like, well, you know, permitting is a tough go. I guess you could ask the offshore wind people. Permitting still remains a tough obstacle. Is there anyone who could just address maybe what the sort of impediments are, if that's something that you looked at, and is there any way to look at something that may be on the horizon to maybe make the path a little smoother?
Yeah, so that is something I'd really like to know more about, but not our area of expertise. So that's something that would be wonderful to look into, but this project didn't get into that. But one thing that we
told. Hello. I'm sorry, did somebody else have something to add before we go to the next question?
Hi. Yeah, this is Nicole. I'm also not an expert in the area of permitting, but I will say something that we are looking out for at the National Ocean Service, particularly as we have these data that tell us how influential this sector of the economy is to our nation's overall well-being and prosperity, and that has to do with the increasing frequency of coastal inundation and other hazards that are increasing along the coast. We are turning increasing amounts of our attention toward coastal resilience-related issues, and now that we have these data in hand, it gives us even more reason to pay close attention to this sector because we really have a better understanding of how important all of the 10 sectors are to the U.S. economy. And so to the degree that there might be increasing coastal hazards, we would want to pay close attention to those.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ed with USA Today again. Ed, please go ahead.
Do you have any comments on what your data showed as far as the state of Florida is concerned?
So this data set is national in scope, and so we don't have it broken out by state or by region at this time. We're hoping that that's something that we can work on in the future, pending funding, but not something that we have at this time. We do have other sets, data sets within NOAA that do deal with information about the marine economy on the state level and on the county level, but not this data set.
Thank you.
Seeing no more questions in the queue, we'll just hold for a brief few seconds to give folks a chance to press star one if there's anything else we haven't quite covered yet or something else that pops to mind. Star one to ask a question. All right, well, going once, going twice. With that, I think we will go ahead and wrap up this press call. I want to thank all the folks on this call again, and just thank everyone for joining and all the experts and speakers. The new statistics and other materials are available on the BEA website. You can also access them through the link in the NOAA press release, which went up on the NOAA website just a short while ago, and we sent to your news teams today. And if you have any other questions as you're pulling your stories together or you want more imagery, we have some new infographics as well. Please feel free to reach out to me. My email address is Jenny, J-E-N-N-I-E, dot Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S, at NOAA, NOAA.gov. You can just send me your inquiry and the deadline you're working under, and we'll be back in touch with you as soon as possible. Again, that's Jenny, J-E-N-N-I-E, dot L-Y-O-N-S, at NOAA, NOAA.gov. And you can also reach me on my phone at 202-603-9372. Again, that's 202-603-9372. And with that, we will go ahead and close this call. Thank you all so much for your time.
Thank you for your participation in today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.